Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM. A River Network production.
How do you rein in state government? How do you rein in bureaucrats? Well, Ohio's got a great idea and a great state rep who is trying to make that happen. Also, what's going on with Ohio with the utility rates and also that sweetheart deal that cost so many of these establishment Republicans their freedom or their lives? That House Bill 6, I think, that was just monstrous, absolutely a monstrous scandal. So one of our favorite state reps is Ron Ferguson, a great friend of the show, and I asked him to come on this morning and give us an update about what is going on with our state, and most importantly, how is that going to affect our lives. So Ron Ferguson, welcome back to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. How you doing this morning, sir?
Good morning, Dimitri. Always great to be on the show. Glad to be here.
Yes, it is. So tell me about how do you rein in the bureaucrats in state government? Because you've got a plan. In fact, more than a plan. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We got House Bill 11. That's the Reins Act here in Ohio. A similar bill is running federally with Senators Rand Paul and Rick Scott. But let's talk about what's going on here in Ohio. So we have these unelected bureaucrats that run agencies like the EPA, and they pass rules that crush our farmers and our small business owners and good faith people trying to make our world a better place with rules that micromanage every part of business in your lives. And those rules, there's nothing you can do about it if they're bad rules, because these are unelected bureaucrats. We're saying in the Reins Act that in order for a rule of high magnitude to possibly be passed, the legislature, the people that are accountable to you, the voter, they have to approve that rule in order for it to take effect.
Every rule?
It's rules that cost above $100,000.
And who determines the cost? How do they determine the cost?
Yeah, so there is a nonpartisan department within the state of Ohio that will actually determine those, that can actually determine those numbers. But the key part of our bill that we added in there is to say, if me, Ron Ferguson, your representative, says, hey, I think that's a flawed number, I don't think you're right, I think this actually would cost more than $100,000, I can actually go out and get an independent number from a third party, and we can use that number instead.
Wow, that's great. So essentially, you're going to be neutering all of the bureaucrats in Columbus, right?
Yeah. Hey, there's occasionally some rules that should exist, but if they're that good, they should be able to pass the legislature. They should be able to actually stand up to that muster and to that test. Hmm.
How many rules do you think are, also, is this retroactive or is this just moving forward?
Yeah, so, it is only moving forward. However, in Ohio, every 5 years, these rules come up for review anyway. So any rule that's on the book will eventually run into this, scrutiny.
Wow. How many rules? Give me a sense here. Help me get a better perspective of the magnitude of this problem with the bureaucrats ruling our lives. How many rules are we talking about here in Columbus?
Oh, there's thousands of rules that are passed every single year. It's a lot.
By the bureaucrats, thousands. Are we talking tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands?
Correct. So one of the worst things that happens sometimes when this legislation's passed in Columbus is you'll have legislators that don't really make their bills as airtight as what they really should. They just defer to the agency. They just write within the bill, here's the law that I want to pass, and an unelected bureaucrat, the agency can just figure out how to implement it, set all the rules and parameters around actually implementing that law. We just defer way too much power, and that's not the way that it should be. You know, we have a representative government. The people of the 96th district elected me. I answer to them. Other representatives answer to their voters. It's the people that like that that get elected that really need to be setting the standards so we can hold people accountable when they do wrong.
Why would a politician want to give up that unreal amount of power and simply hand it to a bureaucrat? I don't understand that. I mean, just from a sheer self-interest point of view, as a politician, I'd want to keep all the power in my office so I can make all, you know, have a tremendous amount of clout. But to automatically just hand that power to a bureaucrat, what sense does this make if you're a politician? Because you're essentially castrating yourself now.
I'll say it like this. When our country was founded, our founding fathers certainly didn't believe that should happen. We all know how much hard work they put into writing things like our U.S. Constitution. And I would say right now we're getting back to having leaders on the national level like a Donald Trump and a Ron DeSantis and these people that are willing to roll up the sleeves and work. But somewhere in the middle of all that, we just got lazy politicians that weren't there for the right reasons. And they just really didn't want to do the job. They just wanted to go to the cocktail parties and not really work for the voters. So now we're trying to clean up that mess. That's what we're trying to do, is rein back in that power that was given to us originally by the founding fathers, and some lazy people along the way kind of let it all go to the bureaucrats.
Amazing. So it passed the House. This is your bill, House Bill 11. Is that right?
It has not passed the House. It's teed up to get a vote in the House. But, you know, we have all the, everybody's on board. We're ready to go. So that's getting ready to happen, and it should be off to the Senate.
All right. So what you're, if I understood you correctly, what you're saying is you've got the votes in the House.
Correct.
All right.
Just haven't taken the vote yet. Yep.
All right. And who is the sponsor or co-sponsor? I'm not sure the right terminology in the Senate, state Senate.
We don't have a specific sponsor over there. What happened is myself and Representative Brian Lorenz that wrote this bill, we are the sponsors of the bill. When we pass it, it will go over to the state Senate, and they will decide what committee that it goes to. And, you know, that whatever committee it goes to, that chair of that committee will be the one that gets to usher it through the Senate process.
Realistically, what committee will it probably go to, and who is that going to be? And then what is the likelihood of it being passed in the Senate?
Sure. So that's a decision of the Senate President, Rob McAuley, who he gets to send it wherever he wants. You know, he's a good senator, so I'm sure he'll send it to a good place. It's all I can say is in the House, it's in the Government Oversight Committee. So, you know, if the Senate makes that same determination that it should go to the Government Oversight Committee, that chair is Senator Christina Rogner, that happens to be running for state treasurer right now. Actually, somebody I endorsed for state treasurer, a great friend and hardworking senator. So, it'd be great if the Senate determines that that's where they want to send it, because I know she'll do a great job.
And do you think you have the votes in the Senate, realistically?
I haven't talked to the senators yet, because you need to work it through the House first. But it's great legislation. It's wildly popular. I just read an article last week where Jim Jordan is actually looking at putting at least a lot of the components of the Raines bill into another bill that he has in Judiciary Committee. Jim Jordan's a big supporter of this.
Well, Jim Jordan talks like he's a big supporter of everything, but he doesn't really do anything. But anyway, I hope that works out. Is DeWine on board with this?
I have not talked to the governor about it yet.
Really? I would have thought, and I don't know the internal workings of state government. You didn't reach out to his office saying, hey, what are your thoughts on this? Do you have any problems with this? Anything like that to feel him out?
No, I really think the way that our system's designed is we need to run our bills. We need to give it its fair shake. We need to come up with what our position is in the House. The Senate then needs to come up with what their position is as the Senate. And then that's when it goes to the governor, and the governor can kind of weigh in what his opinion is, if we're able to get it through each one of the two chambers. So, certainly his opinion will be important and welcomed. It's just not that stage of process yet.
All right. So you also have this House Bill 11. Tell us about that, cleaning up this horrendous householder mess.
Yeah, so HB 11 is the one we just talked about. You're talking about HB 15 now.
Yeah, I always get 11 and 15 confused because I have dyslexia.
So we have that bill was voted on last week and sent to the governor's desk. That bill is to secure our power grid to make sure we don't have rolling blackouts and brownouts in years to come. It is to strengthen our natural gas and coal industries here in the state of Ohio and nuclear in the state of Ohio. But one of the better things that it even did was HB 6. A lot of people have heard about that. It's the one that got all the federal press about it. The former Speaker of the House was sitting in federal prison. Some people committed suicide over it because it was such a corrupt, dirty deal. HBO actually even came out with a documentary about a week or two ago that featured that bill.
Wow. Well,
anyway, what did we do last week? We repealed that. I have been working on that repeal for the last 4 years. I've been leading that charge to get rid of that dirty deal that sold out our people here in the state of Ohio. And I finally was successful in doing that last week. So we wiped that off the books.
Our studio audience loves you. Our studio audience thinks you're great. Our studio. Anyway, that's good news. All right. So now it's going to the Senate. Is that right?
No, it's already passed. This is going to the governor.
This is fantastic news. How many people committed suicide?
Two at least.
And that was First Energy or politicians?
There was, one was a lobbyist and one was a, he was the PUC, the head of the PUCO, the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio.
Wow. Jeez, man. Oh, man. So does this mean we're going to finally get lower utility bill rates? We're going to have a lower, we're going to pay less money for our electricity?
This is to lower your electric bills. Yes, it is.
Okay. How is it going to do that, and how much money do we save?
We don't know how much we're going to save yet. It has to actually get into play. But this is just kind of like we talked about earlier with my HB 11 bill, where there's just all these rules and regulations and just too much control by the bureaucrats. This is really opening up the free market. It's going to allow these energy companies to really get out there and compete and provide your electric at a cheaper rate, because they're going to be able to actually create a lot of competition. So it's ultimately a competition bill, and by creating that competition, it's going to drive down prices.
All right.
You're
now,
a free market guy like me. You know how that works.
Well, actually, I don't. And I'll tell you why. I had Erica Storch here yesterday with Appalachian Power. And she said that West Virginia has lower rates than Ohio, even though Ohio has more choice. First, is that true? And if so, I'd like an explanation after a short commercial break. So give that some thought. Because, yeah, I'm a free market guy and I believe in competition. But my guest yesterday was sitting right across the desk here from me and said, no, West Virginia has lower rates because it is controlled. It is there's no freedom like we have in Ohio, and yet their rates are lower. And I was just stunned, and I had no information to challenge her or anything like that. So give it some thought. I want to get your thoughts on this. But that's what she told me yesterday, right? I mean, like right here. And I was stunned. And I don't know, maybe she's right. We're going to find out. More with our very special guest, Ron Ferguson, State Rep, 96th District, one of the really good guys, great friend of the show, doing lots and lots of good things in Columbus. I wish he'd run for statewide office. I don't know if he's ever going to, but boy, he could do a really, really great job. I got a short break here, and then we're going to find out who really does have the lower rates. Was Erica right, or is Ron right regarding choice? I actually don't know. I really don't. Download the River Network app and then click River Talk. You get Dimitri.